Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And our road trip around the UK with Green King ended today in the Torch in Wembley. And we were just some great guests. We were joined by Ben Foster.
Yeah, he was on good form. Talking about his camera in the goal.
Yes, right, yeah, looking ahead to the England game. Luke Kempner as well, impressionist, gave us some of his finest work, including a couple of England players and the manager. We also chatted to Martin Kellner with his weekly sport on TV. We had a bit of a chat, and Andy Smart joined in, as he often does. He joined us here, and Alan McNee, great old journeyman pro.
Brilliant to hear from
was
Alan.
Back to take us into at the end of the show. So here it all is. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Andy.
Oh, good morning. After months of build-up, it's finally here. I'm so excited. The big one.
I can tell you are a bit like a kid
Sweden
who's been
Slovakia.
On the sunny D. Oh, okay. Oh, it was a gag coming.
Hey, are you rude?
I had no idea. Sorry.
Well, you never
I
do.
I thought you were just honestly excited.
Only Sweden versus Slovakia. I'm very excited because only two more games until they're banned, sin die, from any
yeah,
tournament
your plan
ever.
Is to have... You're pushing for Sweden to be kicked out of tournaments, are you?
I am,
because
yes.
Of their very negative take on the game.
It's got to happen, hasn't it? And... yesterday, a little bit left of the holiday tour.
Not a holiday.
Was for me.
Okay.
And we got to Manchester Piccadilly, and you were particularly keen on using the first-class lounge.
Well, I've never been in the Avanti first-class lounge at Manchester Station. It's all about, you know, seizing the day, isn't it? New experiences in life.
And I had to slap my suitcase up two flights of stairs. Let's say it wasn't Air Singapore.
Well,
the Spartan interior.
It was.
Distinct lack of canopies.
There was, we had a very small bag of popcorn. And a bottle of water.
They
basically didn't have the single malts out for us when we arrived. But anyway, it was fine. You know, it was fine. We popped in, we popped out again.
True. Now, we got on the train and our assistant producer has done such a brilliant job all week. We've almost thought she was the producer, really.
Yeah.
Kate.
Yeah. Very organised. Organised in a way that I'm not used to.
I know.
With a producer.
And Kate was watching the Ukraine-Finland game. And you know how dismissive I can be when I'm not interested in the game.
Yeah.
So I said to her, what are you watching that for? You're fired, I said. But of course, I forgot she's Ukrainian.
That's right. Yeah. She's watching her.
It's a bit
she's
harsh,
watching my homeland.
Yeah, a bit harsh.
Nice, isn't it?
Yeah, she was delighted when Ukraine went ahead. A little bit nervy at 2-1. I felt.
Oh yeah, 2-1. Yeah, it was looking a bit dodgy at one point, wasn't it?
And later on in the journey, I wanted to show you one of the clever games on Sue's speech therapy game, but I didn't realise my volume was up, and it went like this: touch the large one, really echoed right through.
It's like Alan Partridge, wasn't it? Yeah.
That big bloke at the end of the carriage, he looked really peed.
He did, yeah. Andy has got a new phone, you may have noticed, and he doesn't know how to work it yet.
That's true.
So something he wants to ask you about today, I mean, maybe you should set that up first. You've got a question for the list. Yesterday we asked you the burning question. Would you rather have a big head or a small head? I mean, surprisingly, over 1,000 people decided they would answer that question on social media.
Well, you know.
And the answer was big head, wasn't it?
Most people 64%, I believe.
And when you're buying a hat, I suppose you get your money's worth, don't you? I suppose that's one way of looking at it.
You get more material,
yeah.
It's very true. And
what is it today, Andy?
Well, I was watching the game last night, and I thought, brilliant commentary by Clive and Ali. And Clive, who checks these things, kept calling the Barcelona forward, Martin Braithwaite, because that's how he pronounces his name, Martin Braithwaite. I thought, no one's a Braithwaite anymore. There's Carlos Braithwaite, the brilliant cricketer, but no one's a Braithwaite. So I went through Google and I looked up the late Bob Braithwaite, of course, the shooter, the Olympic shooter.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, the British sprinter, Darren Braithwaite.
Yeah, yeah.
So I remember very well. So they were Braithwaites. These people are Braithwaites. So are you a Braithwaite or a Braithwaite? How would you say it?
I'd say Braithwaite, probably.
Okay. And there's actually a video on how to pronounce Martin Braithwaite.
Yeah, you're doing it now.
Martin Braithwaite's name.
Yeah.
We've got it lined up, haven't we? Here it is on YouTube. This is genuine.
Martin Braithwaite.
There you go.
Yeah.
Martin Braithwaite.
Now, earlier on, you played that to us on your phone, but then couldn't turn it off.
I just kept saying,
so the video kept going back to the original. So for about 5 minutes, all we heard was that
let's hear it once
saying,
again.
Martin Braithwaite.
Yeah, so imagine
a lovely
that
voice, hasn't she?
Every 30 seconds, as Andy's just pushing buttons and not able to work his
career
phone.
In broadcasting. Later on,
so you're asking the listeners, are you Braithwaite or Braithwaite?
Well, that's it.
And can we ask them, would you rather be a Braithwaite with a small head? Or a Braithwaite with a big head, or a Braithwaite with a big head, or a Braithwaite with a small. No, we won't do that. It's just
that's
far too complicated. Anyway, England are playing Scotland, believe it or not,
fair
later
enough,
on.
Really, yeah.
And we will reflect that over the next 2 and a bit hours in the company of Ben Foster, who's kindly joined us here at the Torch. We're going to be chatting to Luke Kempner as well. We've got John Collins joining us. We look forward to John with us.
With his ripped body. From
you didn't mention, we get on the train yesterday, and who should we see but Big Colin? Colin Hendry.
Oh, Big Colin Hendry, yeah.
Yeah, he was on our train heading
That's
down
true.
To London doing some work. He's with his sons coming down here. They've got tickets. He's not going to the game. He's doing some other work around it with various sponsors.
But, I know, you're still sweating on the old tickets, you and John.
Well, yeah,
you, really?
we're hoping to be there tonight. We've got a slight issue with UEFA,
yes.
which our people are talking to their people at the moment. And so I'm sure it'll all get.
We're hoping Tinsel can have a word, yeah.
Yeah, we're hoping because of his work with UEFA, yes. Anyway, we're working on that, so I'm sure it'll
be
fine.
The final word on the holiday, though, I didn't say, it should go to John, really, when the PA went, thanks for choosing Avanti West Coast. And he went, like we've got a choice.
That's true. They often say that on trains. It's not an alternative one. There's not an alternative one, really, is it?
What else can we do? He's right.
Unless you want to take 3 days and get lots and lots of different train franchises. There's not much you can do about it.
I've got 9 gags left over from the week, so I'll be doing those later. Well, I say gags.
Gags.
Not really.
I think
just
that's pushing
that
it a bit.
It is, really. Yeah,
gags.
Overrating them completely.
I think it certainly is.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Ben Foster, the former England keeper, is with us. And we had a bit of a goalkeeper shake-up the other day when Dean Henderson had to head back with injury. And Aaron Ramsdale was called in. And you were on standby, weren't you, for a tournament back in the day? I can't think which one it was, but I seem to remember that was the case.
It was, I think...
2006. It must have been, mustn't it?
There you go. Yeah,
must have been,
I think Sven Goran Eriksson was the manager at the time. And I'd just come off the back of a Watford season, I think I had, in the Premier League, the one where we got relegated. It was like 2006 or 7 or so. Anyway. Mm. Yeah, I was fourth choice goalie, I think. So I went away on holiday, and they kind of let you know that at sort of a drop of a notice, you might be called or whatever kind of thing. And there was an injury to, do you remember when Rob Green did that thing where he did a goal kick and sort of almost ripped all his kind of groin out and all that kind of stuff? Yeah. That was the injury. So I got called back from that. And it's one of them when you're on holiday, I think we were in Dubai at the time, and you get the call and you are thinking, oh, you know, I'm having a nice time here, to be honest. it was great though, to be fair. But like, you know, you go back for another sort of week or 2 weeks of training with the lads and stuff, and then they announce the final squad, and then it, you know, I wasn't in the squad, but that's fine. You can go back on holiday again.
Did you? I mean, what's it? Is it weird being parachuted into a group of lads that have been there for a while already? I suppose it must be a bit odd.
A little bit. It's okay. I'd been with the squad a few times anyway, so it's not like it was sort of alien to me. But no, it's fine, to be perfectly honest. Like, even nowadays, I think you just look at the England squad; everybody just seems to know everybody anyway, don't they? Whether they're on sort of Instagram together, Twitter, all that kind of stuff, they all seem to know each other. So I don't think it'll be a problem for anybody, especially like someone like Aaron Ramsdale. I know. Again, great lad. Most goalies are great lads, to be perfectly honest with you, but he is a lovely kid and he's so personable, and I know for a fact he'll just go in there. It'll be, you know, like a duck to water, basically.
Yeah.
You mentioned Donnarumma was 6'5", and when I was growing up, this is a long time ago, there were keepers like Eddie Hopkins. He was 5'7", and things like that. And you know, there were a couple of them like that. And
we used to say Joe Corrigan was like this. He was like this mythical creature. He was like he was 6'4". People go, God, 6'4". How big? I mean, like, you know,
does size matter?
Depends what you're talking. Are you talking about heads again, or are you?
Yeah, no, we're not heads.
It's not heads,
definitely not. It does. It does. It has to matter now. I think if you're going to be one of these sort of 6'1", sort of the old kind of Shea Given type size goalkeeper, you have to have one area of your goalkeeping which is exceptional, and I mean sort of out of this world exceptional. So for take Shea Given for example, his spring and his reactions were just unbelievable. They were unmatched, and that's why he had the career he had. But nowadays, you're finding out that goalkeepers, they have to be 6'4", 6'5", they have to be.
Yeah.
And be exceptional in most departments as well.
Will they not look at you now? Is it that old thing you used to talk about outfield players, good player, but he's too small, they used to say as kids coming through. So keepers now, they have to be.
I think the big question is, would you pay $71 million for a 6 foot bloke that's quite thin?
Yeah. Who are you talking about?
I don't want to say.
But I think I know you, mate.
Yeah,
but
I think I know
suppose
you.
They must be looking for that as they bring these kids. Ooh. Or at least looking at the parents and saying, okay, well, he's going to shoot up.
Exactly that. One of the big things in academies nowadays is, especially if you're a goalie or a centre-back, even the midfield and forward players, they need you to be of a certain size and stature. So they will go and look at your parents. They'll ask how tall your dad is. They'll want to see how tall your mum is. And they genuinely do that as well.
Kids have got no chance.
It seems like the modern player just has to be that little bit bigger than what they were before.
What about Lloris though?
He's not the biggest Lloris, is he, not. Really? I suppose he's not. He's, you know, if he was coming through now, it might be slightly different.
There were a few, to be fair, like David De Gea, again, 6'2", sort of. I think nowadays 6'2" is about the minimum you could be as a goalie.
Yeah, wow.
Now, you're telling us you were at Ascot yesterday. It sounded like a nice thing. We forget we're in this bubble.
Yeah, we're on a bit of a Euro. We forget there's things like that and the US
Normally
Open Golf.
Yeah, we've done quite a lot of stuff on it. So
yeah, it was brilliant,
fun.
Oh, it was lovely. Yeah, it's we've done it for the last sort of 4 or 5 years, and it's always a nice day where you can, you know, put your sort of Sunday best on. You know, you've got the top hat.
Wear a top out on a Sunday then?
we're talking about big heads, honestly. Blimey, Al, my mind's massive.
Wearing a top hat rather than a cap.
That would be great.
It's
massive. Throw you, wouldn't it, if you suddenly make yourself big? It's easy to make yourself big in a top hat.
That's what should do.
Yeah,
get a top hat.
Just get a top hat. Imagine that. Yeah, just get yourself a top hat, Kepa. You'll be fine.
Once your goalie bashes you, like. Absolutely horrible. It was lovely though. It was a great day. The weather yesterday was a little bit better as well, because I think the day before it was 30 odd degrees, and I'm a sweater. So if I would have been in my top hat and my penguin suit, all that, poof, I would have been in bits, honestly. So it was a nice day, good temperate day yesterday.
Now you've been putting a GoPro, because we know you're the goalkeeping cyclist, of course, so the cycling goalkeeper on YouTube. But you did put a GoPro in the goal in the championship. Now, you were saying to the guys on the station the other day, you're going to have a word with the Premier League. So have you had any comeback on that? What have they said?
No, we still kind of keep trying to just drip it out there and hopefully somebody might come back. But it's, you know what I mean? I'm still sort of very easy about it, kind of thing. The what I do anyway is kind of a match day vlog. So I'll give you the whole build up to the whole game anyway. So it'll start the day before and I'll show you what we're doing in a bit of training, a bit of sort of how we travel to the game, all that kind of stuff, the food we have, the hotels we stay in. And then it goes on to the game. And then that's at that point is when I will put the GoPro in the goal. And even if we're not allowed to do it this year, which it will be a shame because it is, honestly, it looks so good. If anybody hasn't seen the videos, please go and watch it. It's such a unique perspective to go and watch the game from. You can hear the sort of conversations, the tiny little conversations that you never, ever, ever get access to. It's so intriguing, and people have really taken to it well. So like I say, even if I can't do it, I know it will still look good because I get to go to these lovely stadiums, Liverpool Stadium, Arsenal, all these brilliant, brilliant stadiums, and just show you what it looked like behind the scenes, but from my point of view, from a player's point of view. And I think it's always good when, you know, Sky are there and they're showing it, but it's never quite as personal as when you're the guy holding the camera as well.
I mean, you must be tempted to sort of look into the goal mouth and say, "Oh, it's Ben here, don't forget to like and subscribe." And they're all shouting at you because the Aubameyang's on the halfway line for a one-on-one. Don't forget, we're winning 1-0, it's all going very well. It's a danger, isn't there? You could get sucked into it.
Yeah, you don't want it to take over. I've had a few last season where the cameras sort of fell over in the back of the goal, and I'm thinking, oh god, I'm gonna miss all the footage. So thankfully, if the ball goes out, I'll just sort of pop it up, or there might be somebody behind up, just stand it up for
and
me.
Have players headed to it for goal celebrations? Have you noticed it? Has it become a bit of a magnet for it?
Yeah, we did have one actually. We've had one, and it sort of blew up a little bit from there, to be honest with you. We played Swansea earlier in the season. Jamal Lowy actually scored, and he didn't do much, he sort of literally ran over and gave it a little point kind of thing. But I think the actual cameras caught him doing it, and then everybody was sort of talking about it, buzzing about it. So after the game, they're asking him. But I'm pretty sure that they're not scoring extra hard just so that they could go and celebrate.
They're on the telly enough.
Exactly.
Ben's right there. We've talked about this often over the years. The sound of sport. You very rarely hear it. I mean, it's so brilliant coverage, everything. And looking at that Champions League UEFA video they did this week, and you could hear the referee. And you never hear all that stuff, and it is intriguing for the fans. One other theory I've had over the years is the towel theory, isn't it? Pull my towel.
Yeah, Andy's got this theory about towels for goalkeepers.
Because I reckon when you're a striker, I've never played football, but I just have this theory that you look up, you see the goal, and when the goalkeeper puts the towel in the worst part of the goal for him, and that's it. Obviously, it gives the sort of striker something to aim at.
A sighter.
And you often, when it happens, I go, he's hit the towel. You know, and it often happens in a goal. Go back and look at it.
I think there's something in this, you know, because we played a game early in the season, and I put my towel and my bottle of water right next to my post, sort of just behind the line, so I could see it through the net almost. But it was right there. And I never normally do that. I always put it a couple metres away. And I remember a goal went in, and I honestly thought at the time, I'm going to save this. And I remember diving down, and I kind of, something just sort of, I'm not blaming it, I promise you, I'm not. I still should have saved it. But something caught my eye out the corner, and it was the towel. And I remember the goal went in, and I thought, you should have saved that. What are you doing? From that moment on, I thought, wow, never again will I be putting my towel that close to it. But totally agree. I think just leave it away from it. It doesn't need to be hanging in the goal or anything like that.
So today, Ben, what do you think? How are you, England-wise against Scotland? You confident they can get the result?
I wouldn't say I'm confident, no. I don't. Like I said earlier, I think, you know, sort of form, the players on the pitch, goes out the window a little bit when it's someone like England, Scotland, because they will be up for this game like you would not believe. They are going to be able to press and harry, and they will, like it's a cliche, 110%. They will, though. They will be giving it that little bit more just because it's England. I'm a little bit worried, to be perfectly honest with you. I think it will be a very nervy game. I don't think there'll be too much quality. It depends what squad we put out again, what team we put out again. But I think, they're going to be right up for it tonight.
Would you make, of the team, is there players you'd like to see in? There's been people would love to see Grealish start. Are you a fan?
Yeah, massive fan. I would love to see Grealish start. I think the beauty that we've got at the minute is with those sort of front players that play on that. They can all just seem to play anywhere along it as well. They can play on the left, play on the right, play through the middle behind Harry Kane. Because I think Harry Kane's obviously a given. He's going to be starting up front. But any of them other ones, they can, you know, likes of Jadon Sancho, you know, Marcus Rashford. We are very much blessed in those positions. But for me, Jack Grealish, I love him. I think he's just so easy. He looks so easy to him, like he's playing a different game to everybody else. And I just don't see why you wouldn't want to put. I think before this tournament started, for me, as long as we attacked it and we gave it a go and we showed the talent and quality that we've got, that will do for me. And even if we go and lose in the quarters or semis and stuff, as long as we're going out there and doing proper football and not just sort of scraping 1-0s, that will do for me.
Yeah. And finally, you're doing a watch-along tonight, aren't you? So people can watch the game with you on YouTube.
Brilliant. Yeah, so tonight's the first. It's a big thing in YouTube, apparently. I've just explained it to you earlier, and I don't know if you could get your heads around it. But basically what happens is, I will be, I've got sort of a studio now for the Cycling GK, so I will be watching the game live. I'll be live streaming on YouTube on my Cycling GK channel, and I will just be just having a nice time, but saying it and describing the action as I see it. I'll be able to have a beer, I'll be able to get a bit of food, take away, that kind of stuff. So it's a lot more relaxed and a lot more easier than sort of watching it on Sky or what that, because a lot of people like to just sort of mute the telly and then put their favourite watch along guy on. And yeah, I'm doing the first one tonight, so
brilliant.
It should be fun.
Excellent. Well, I hope it goes well, and lovely to see you as always. Enjoy the game.
Yeah, good
enjoy
luck back in the Prem.
Yeah, good luck back in the Prem. Hopefully, we'll catch up with the start of the season.
Guys, thank you.
Take care. Thank you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Anyway, join us now, friend of the show, impressionist, comedian.
Fairly ripped.
Yeah,
pretty, no, not as ripped as John Collins.
Not bad.
No way.
Luke Kempner, lovely to see you, Luke.
Oh, I'm so excited. Lovely to be here. Thanks for having me on this momentous day in Scotland.
Yeah, you've got the New England shirt.
I've got the New England shirt. I've got a flag around me. I've got a lovely horn as well.
Do you want to blow that?
Is that a vuvuzela?
It's sort of a vuvuzela. Do you want to hear it? It's quite loud.
Here you go. God, that is loud.
See?
Very loud, isn't it?
It's got a right old blow on it.
And, of course, I'm saying to you, because now I get to, I'm only doing 2 days a week, so I get to see a bit of Steph's packed lunch.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my life's so exciting. Yeah. And here he is, one of the stars of Steph's packed lunch.
Oh, thank you very much. Wow. Yes, no, it's on Channel 4, 12:30 every day. It's a lovely lunchtime show. And I'm actually their sort of football correspondent. Which,
oh, really?
Which
nice
I'm very
one.
Much
You're
enjoying.
Off to do a bit of filming down at Wembley in this beautiful weather.
The pouring rain.
Yeah.
Yes, but I'm still excited. Any excuse to get excited for the year. Because the thing is as well, like, as our Arsenal have got worse and worse. The international tournaments have become very important for us Arsenal fans because it's something to cheer about. So I'm absolutely kid at Christmas. I'm so excited.
We were saying earlier on that are there any players or anybody in the setup that are good to impersonate?
Well, I mean, Harry Kane, because you know, it's so clear. You know, obviously, you know, like really, really, it's an enjoyable voice to do. Very nice to be here. You know, it's been nice playing a lot of Uno with the lads. Have you heard them talking about how much Uno they've been playing? Yeah. And I will say Uno, what I mean, and they laugh. You know, Luke Shaw finds it particularly funny.
So he's the one that I've really liked to do. And Gareth Southgate, he's got this sort of like, okay, yeah, it's kind of there's not loads about his voice, but he's from a similar area to me, so that sort of crawly kind of hot, he's a bit like a horn in the back of your throat sort of noise. And he's coming. Yeah.
And of course on TalkSport we've been lucky to have the insight of Jose Mourinho, but a lot of people have said Jose, he's quite downbeat. His insight is fantastic.
I think that football is a bit boring. I don't want to play. I don't want to watch. I go to Roma. I'm not interested. I think this. I know this.
It's a bit like that. Last time we saw you, we were working on your Mikel Arteta.
But
I thought it was coming on quite nicely.
Yes, I tell you, one of my favourite things I've picked out that he does is I always like to trust the players. I trust the players with all of my heart, with my beard, which is particularly perfect. I like to, you know, I don't like to trust them when they're walking along the street. I say, Laka, 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 take your time, Laka. And, you know, I like that. I'm very excited for next season. We're going to finish seventh, maybe.
He has got that hair. I mean, it's a bit of a touch of Jeff Stelling about him. You know, the fact that Jeff has never really gone grey.
Oh, yeah.
And uses
there is
no product.
I mean, I think Jeff Stelling is going to be very happy with that comparison.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he will, really.
I think, I mean, if we're going to win an award for most attractive manager, I think Mikel Arteta could win that.
Do you think Mikel that incredibly, feasibly dark, bonnety-like
hair? I mean, he's definitely got a little bit of grey since he's been at the Emirates.
Has he?
Yeah. Oh, there's a little bit of salt and pepper coming now.
I can't remember. We were talking about Aubameyang. I can't remember who we were talking about earlier this week. Saying, you know, when he didn't turn up for the, he turned up late, and he was quite angry that he wasn't playing.
He
didn't seem to understand that this might be a requirement to actually turn up on time for a match, for a big match.
I've been enjoying him, Aubameyang's Instagram, because he's just out playing with like random like kids at like five asides and stuff like that, and he's doing very well actually.
He's got a lot of goals.
Yeah.
So what else are you up to at the moment?
Well, I'm doing Steph's Packed Lunch. You say I'm working with TikTok and Copper 90 for the Euros, which is really exciting. I'm very much like sort of hello fellow kids. I went to TikTok. They gave me a lesson at TikTok of how to use it, so I'm fully up with
I could do a bit of that. I'm on TikTok.
What are you bringing to
us
on TikTok?
The oldest person on TikTok.
That's it. Oh, but I'm doing some lovely sketches on then spitting images coming back in September.
Good stuff.
So hopefully it'll be about Harry Kane and Boris will be there as well, and look, perhaps and Jurgen Klopp as well.
so it's going to be fun.
The one thing I'd love to come back is murdering successful.
I know we say it every time, and it just you just need to keep texting Tom Davies every day.
To Tom.
and say, bring it back. I'm up for it.
Are you working, are there other stuff you're working on at the moment?
It's been interesting during the pandemic, some of the voices that have come to the forefront,
you know, like doing a lot of Piers Morgan, you know, he's been one of the big stars of the show. You know, I like being here on TalkSport. I mean, England are going to win. Of course we are. Come on.
Joe Wicks, oh my God, amazing. It's day 410 of PE with Joe. I had no idea how long I was going to have to do this for. Yeah. So they've been really fun. But, someone from TalkSport ran the other day and they wanted me to do Biggins doing the Aguero.
That's right. Oh, yeah. We did. Because,
I loved that.
It was us, wasn't it?
It was us.
Yeah, yeah. Someone just texted me and I was filming Stesma at lunch and they were like, can you just do it quickly? And I was like, yes, Aguero, here we go. I swear you'll never see anything like it again. And every time I come on here, I'm always like, I wonder if I'll be able to get the Biggins in there. Somewhere.
Yeah, no, we do love
the idea of Martin Tyler doing pantomime.
Yeah, that's oh, a year with me. Imagine Martin as a panto dame. That would be good, wouldn't he? Yes. So yeah, I mean, there's Biggins like the Biggins. Have you done it for him before?
Yes, and he came on. Well, we did it once on an ITV show, and someone had to. It was the impressionist Deborah Stevenson had to pick the real Biggins because we were behind this thing like sort of blind day, and they were asking us different questions, and you know, it was things like, oh well, you know, I enjoy ready salted crisps and all this sort of thing, and they said, and she had to pick who the real Biggins was. She picked me.
Oh, that's right. Good.
Out of me, Rory Bremner, and Biggins.
It's almost like the old Woody Allen sketch with a moose, isn't it?
It's ridiculous. So, yes, I mean, there could never be a bigger compliment than that.
No, fantastic.
And Biggins, because as you know, I used to be in Les Mis. I like to mention it now and again.
Yeah.
And Biggins said to me, he goes, well, you know, you can sing and do Biggins. What more do you want? So I think he likes it.
It'd be tempting if they didn't put the money up on Les Mis to maybe start going on to sing one of the songs as Alan Carr.
That would be good. Empty chairs at empty tables. That'd be nice.
I want more money, and I'll keep doing the impressions until the money goes.
Yeah,
just hear it cutting through the chorus. It'd be fantastic, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yes. Definitely a good idea.
So what about today then, Luke? Are you feeling from an England point? Are you there with your England flag around
your
shoulders?
Yes, okay, I've got my horn. See, I can't even blow it now.
Didn't work that time. That's not a good omen, is it?
No, exactly. I'm not overconfident because I think we started well. I think on paper we should beat Scotland very comfortably, but anything can happen, as I know with these Arsenal-Tottenham derbies. Anything can happen.
Yeah.
Form goes out the window.
True.
Half my wife's Scottish. I've got a daughter coming in September.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you very much. So she's going to be half Scottish and half English. So I think it's going to be 2-1 to England.
Yep. I wouldn't be at all surprised. I mean, it's going to be a nervy old night.
I think so, yes.
It's a 1-0 for me.
Do you think so?
It's only one goal in it, yeah?
Yeah, I think it's so tight in the conditions and everything. We'll see.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, we can...
Andy Smart's with us. We should say that's right.
I was about to introduce that.
Oh, sorry.
Very quietly.
Yes.
Andy Smart, good afternoon.
Good morning.
Or good morning. I'm just told.
I know, Paul started off the show with, it's 7 minutes past one. I was like, no, it's not. 10 o'clock in the morning.
Did I do that again? Yeah. I did that yesterday. Second day running, I've got a piece of paper that says it's the morning.
I know, it's brilliant, isn't it? Yeah. Now it's time for the leftovers section of the show. This is the parts of my diary.
The sound of a barrel being scraped.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. And sitting in comedy judgment, of course, you and Andy, and I'm quite worried because really, let's face it.
It's a bear pit.
This is the second rate material, otherwise it'd have been
this
in the show.
This is the dregs.
And we start with something that I noticed that we went out for a meal in Manchester. We had a Japanese and Chinese, and we had those steamed Chinese bao buns.
Yeah.
And I love to bring things back to sports.
Not so Gareth bao buns.
No, the Atletico Bill bao buns.
Okay, nice. Gareth Bale in his bar should definitely do bao buns.
Yeah, he should do. Bale bao buns.
Okay.
I prefer the Atletico Bill bao buns.
Okay.
Anyway, what am I talking about? Then we went through Leominster, which the bloke said, we're now reaching Leominster.
That's what it's called. Really,
Wasn't he in Motorhead?
Yeah, he was. The late great.
Yes, that's right. John's going to the big playoff game on Sunday, and he needs to take a lateral flow test for the playoff. Lovely go at lateral flow.
You know what he said? The dregs.
Yeah.
No, not John.
Although he did think that the cricket game was...
He said, they're playing down at Southampton, New Zealand, India in the World Test Center. We turned around, it was the Women's International from Birmingham.
What happened in Cardiff the other day? Big Nev sat down, Neville Southall said, Blimey, it's Pat Nevin, pointed at our producer, John.
Yeah, that's right.
John Collins comes in and says, where's Pat Nevin?
I know. I can't see it myself.
I can. Yeah, I mean, somebody actually came in at the office one day and called John Pat, like as if Pat hadn't aged in the last 20 years. I mean, he is wearing
Pat's
well.
About
yeah, but he's not wearing as quite as well as that. Well, John's about 30.
And anyway, we've been talking about sort of Branston Beans all week.
Yeah. No, we haven't. Well, we mentioned them once.
You having the chance of getting
we've
a
case. We've been
talking
about them all week. We've been like a roadshow during the Euros. And we've mainly focused on Branston
I think
Beans.
More often.
Is it Branston Beans or is it Heinz Beans with Branston in it?
No, it's...
No,
it's
oh,
right.
Oh, it's no, no. It's from Branston.
If honestly, a bit like Cristiano, if Andy was sitting there with those other beans there, he'd move them off and he'd replace them. He'd be in trouble. Yeah.
We've just had a tweet, haven't we, John? You showed me from a listener who says that his Branston beans are available in a 4-pack in Sainsbury's. Fantastic, well done, mate.
And they're on offer. They're on offer, apparently. So shouldn't we have had the breaking news stat for that?
So John wanted to put Guy Branston and Gabriel Heinz, which I thought was quite good.
Who was the better player, like a top trumps?
We did.
Top trumps.
We never played this game. We had the idea of the game Ginter or Gunter. for things that are Welsh or German. But
that's right, Ginter or Gunter. You kind of come up with a word that, you know, I Stedford. What's that in German? And is that Ginter or Gunter?
Do you remember the speed bumps at Birmingham Station?
Well, I don't know. It was like
they were like
you got that tattoo, Paul.
I have several photographs of them. Do you remember the speed bumps?
They were like fences at Cheltenham.
They were.
I've never seen anything out of it. Which
they?
Also,
they
on were, the train, I showed them, because I'm on TikTok, you know.
Oh, yeah. You
and your following.
And one of the things that came up was the world's smallest horse.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen this thing? It's tiny.
Yeah, so it would be, wouldn't it?
We'd love to see it in the Gold Cup.
Yeah.
It could be a bit of a struggle.
So this is anything else? Get rid of it all, because you're not going to get another chance.
The worst anecdote of the trip... There was no way we were ever going to make the show, was John's Jeetan Patel anecdote. Do you remember that? We walked past this hotel and he said, I saw Jeetan Patel outside this hotel in Cardiff.
That's where it ended.
We went, yes.
Don't put that in the book, will you?
He just happened to be standing there.
Good job Piers Morgan's life stories weren't listening and they would have booked you.
Oh, yes. I forgot to mention that when we were in Birmingham and having a lovely dinner with Paul's son by the canal, we could see these blokes standing on top of the bridge. Then we thought, they're going to jump. They're going to go in. And they did. I mean, it took you... This is what canal you'd never jump in.
They went swimming in that part of the canal. There's probably a lot of old prams in there.
Yeah.
And it probably wasn't...
Bloke hurt his leg. But I forgot to mention the idea...
Some of our team had a swim in the Taff, didn't you?
Yeah. Well,
they had a bit of a swim when they were in Cardiff. That was lovely.
Moving water. That's not...
But it's right next to the Sea Life Centre. I thought, if that was me, I'd release a shark from the Sea Life Centre into that canal.
That would shark things up a bit, wouldn't it?
And get him out quick.
That's it. Is it? You finished?
Yes,
I think you're done.
Yeah, right.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Yes, I'm sure some of the Euros coverage so far will be covered now by squad number 9, king of overnights, Ho Chi Minh City. It is Martin Kellner. Hi, Martin.
Good morning to you, boys. And the great thing about the build-up to this match tonight... Have you anybody mentioned the match tonight? I suppose.
Yeah, we've mentioned it in passing. Yeah.
Yes. Well, the great thing about the build-up, it's another chance to see Gazza's dentist chair celebration from Euro 96 again and again and again and again. There'll be kids. There'll be kids not even born in 96. It's now part of their collective folk memory. We're all getting very
painful
excited.
Painful memory, though, Martin. We were saying for the ITV director, if you look, check the footage on YouTube of ITV on the day, he cut away. He missed it.
He cut to the crowd just as Gazza runs to that corner and sort of lays down.
Really?
He went for a crowd reaction. Yeah.
So that was live, and presumably they picked it up later, because it's all very clear, you know, when you see it now again and again.
No, I think the other side got it, to be fair.
Did they? I see.
So, Martin, what have you been enjoying?
What have I watched? Well, yeah. I very much enjoyed the work of the Czech Republic. I'm watching most of these Euros just to see how ex-West Ham players are playing. I didn't need to watch the Austria match yesterday because Arnautovic was suspended for that. But obviously, very much enjoyed Vladimir Soufal's great assist for Schick's first goal for the Czech Republic and the performance of Thomas Souček as well. Loved all that. I've been watching the Euros, picking up a lot of it on the highlights programmes because I was out last night. But I have to praise Andros Townsend for his honesty, because he was praising the work of Frank de Boer, the Netherlands manager, who obviously, as we know, was a disaster at Crystal Palace. And Andros Townsend said, in a rare act of honesty, Mr. Football Pundit, he said, working very well, Frank de Boer. You know, when he was with us, you know, it didn't work at all. It must have been us, the players. And I thought, I suppose it must have been. So, well, but I do like his work, Andros Townsend. He's on a few of those highlight shows. I think he's excellent. Also liking Enya Luca on some of those shows as well. Interestingly, last night she was saying that she was talking about, I think she was asked, by Reshmin Chowdhury, who was also very good, asked about tactics and how the Scots can tactically, counteract the threat of England. She said, well, you know, I want England to win, so I don't want to give too much away. And I thought, with the greatest respect, I very much doubt that Steve Clark be watching the highlights show on ITV to pick up what's going to happen. But there's been a load of sport this week, because as we've established in the past, I'm very much a daytime TV watcher, being semi-retired. And when you look at it, it's absolutely feast of riches. There was the Queen's tournament on the BBC, the Queen's tennis tournament on the BBC, Royal Ascot ITV. There was usually a Euro match in the afternoon on either BBC or ITV. It means, obviously, as far as tipping point goes, there's no live tipping point. They're playing classic.
My mum was bemoaning the fact the soaps weren't on. She's missing the
Chlorine. Oh, yeah, Doctors, there are only two episodes this week.
Well, I mean, people of your vintage, you know, they're going to be marching on Maidstone to the ITV studios.
Yes, I was going
to
ask Martin
the BBC
about that. What do you make about ITV's A, decision to be in Maidstone, and B, this cavernous studios? I know we've got
distance studio, isn't it?
Yeah. Social distancing, then there's not being in the same postcode.
Yes, I've noticed that. But as far as the tennis goes, the Queen's, obviously we're seeing the last days, the final days of Andy Murray, which is a tragedy for the BBC, because he's been there. I mean, they have been the Andy Murray channel, if you like, for all these years. 34 years old, with all the injuries he's had, obviously, you know, they're hanging on, you know, to the hope that he can revive.
And there's no kind
of
great British hope coming through to us.
Well, there Edmund are. Hill and Murray Mount. What's going to be the next one?
Yeah.
Well, interesting enough, there are some. There are three in the quarterfinals. Cam Norrie, whose nickname
the
is
Norrie Knoll.
Norrie Knoll. That's quite good. The Norrie Knoll. That works very well. What are the other names? Do they lend themselves to a hill on next to a telly at Wimbledon?
There's Dan Evans and there's Jack Draper. So,
I don't know.
But obviously,
the Evans opened. It rains when you're sitting there.
Well, when it comes to Queens, it's very much the BBC warming up for Wimbledon, I suppose, which is when John Inverdale used to undo his shirt. He'd always have there's three or four shirts buttons undone at the top.
Oh,
so it got a
Queens
summary look.
For Queens, right.
Unfortunately, that was mainly for Wimbledon, but he's sort of doing the interviews with a long mic, you know, socially distanced, so you're not seeing him. But in the studio, we had John Lloyd and Andrew Castle. John Lloyd had two shirt buttons undone, two of the top ones. Andrew Castle, 3. Right. John Inverdale used to go the full Disco Stew. He would all the way down. So, but they're nice. Warming up the BBC.
Maybe that Simon Cowell, that special shirt that he has made. He's got about 3,000 of them, that white shirt.
Oh, really?
Doesn't even button up.
That doesn't only buttons up to the navel. Navel. Nice. Yeah. It's never a great look. Martin, you also watched a bit of Royal Ascot, I understand.
I did watch a bit of Royal Ascot. As you know, I'm not a massive fan of Ed Chamberlain. I know he's a mate of yours.
Oh, how dare you?
Just a bit too, trying to sell it all the time. Everything's great there. We had a thing with, Charlotte Hawkins from the Breakfast TV, drinking an espresso martini. Why we have to see that, I have no idea. But afterwards, Ed Chamberlain saying,
during the day, she must have been buzzing with espresso martini.
Maybe she needs one at that time.
Just because you're on half a lager a night, man, people can have a drink during the day, Andy.
I shall never forget how I nursed bale ale for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Half a pint.
Andy Jacobs, half a pint for 2 hours, he nursed it. Yeah, it was beautifully done.
The other thing that Royal Ascot's proven is that it's very, very hard to predict the winner of a horse race. Something that I found out for myself, because they were just started, I think, the big race yesterday, Francesca Cumani, who I love, she's great, daughter of Luca Cumani, great trainer. So she was, she was brought up with horses. Possibly brought up by horses, I don't know. But she's just about to start, this race. Mm. And Ed asked them for their tips at the last minute. Stradivarius, she said, it was going to win. That's what she said. Wow. This horse was going to win.
And did it, Martin?
No, did it, heck, win? Something else won. It got a bit, hampered in traffic, as they say.
Is that a horse racing term? Hampered?
Yes, I think it is.
It is. It's fair enough. Got stuck in traffic, is what they normally say. Or got to deal with traffic.
Martin, we are out of time, sir.
I know.
Our race is run. You're back overnight between 1 and 6 o'clock, is that right?
Yeah, 1 or 6 o'clock in the morning. We do our documentary hour between 5 and 6.
Brilliant. So we look forward to that.
I have a snooze at that particular point.
But all the secrets.
Don't give away all the secrets.
All the secrets of the broadcasting.
All the stuff I didn't have time to do just now.
Enjoy the game tonight, Martin. We'll catch you next week.
Yes, I will. I've backed a draw, by the way.
Oh, well, you've backed the draw. Wow, interesting.
No one's really talking about the draw.
No, John. No,
I didn't think they were that great against Croatia. I have to say, I thought they were slightly overrated on Twitter and everything. But
interesting.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Anyway, when we realised that Alan McNee, an old friend of the show, a bit of a face in Scottish football, was heading south for the fixture, we thought we'd got to get him on. So our people spoke to his people. And here he is, Alan. Lovely to see you.
Wonderful to be here. And it really is indeed. It defies the dictionary.
It is.
And if Jack Grealish is listening, a dictionary is a book, a big book, with plenty of words. What a day! You know, I'm very in demand today as a pundit. Yeah. Oh, hey, honestly, when you're the assistant manager of Stenhouse, you're under 18 reserves for 10 years, like I've been, you're very much at the epicenter of world football. No, for those who don't know, I'm a former player, manager, coach, winner of the Fourth Cup twice, a runner-up in the Arbroath Under-21 Sweden Tour Biscuit Forfeit Challenge 1972.
Oh, yeah.
Alan McNee!
Yes.
I just want to say, if anyone's, wondering, it's not true that I haven't got any silverware to show for my time. I once nicked a fork and teaspoon from a little chef just outside Gallish Hill, so I did.
What a day, though.
What a day. I woke up with a knot in my stomach this morning. I said to my wife, Chiam Choi, I said, today is very important day, I said to her. I said, in the words of Marty Pello, I feel it in my fingers. I feel it. Well, if I wasn't pre-diabetic, I feel it in my toes.
Yes, of course.
And I says, I can hardly eat Chiam Choi, but I will go a fried slice if you're doing some with bacon, my darling. Sonny, throw in a couple of sausages and all. this match is the biggest moment in Scottish football since Wild Billy McMurray knotted Clive Thomas, Wedgie Delano and St. Brecon sitting in the quarter-final of the Donaldson Scotch Pie and Peace Pudding Trophy, May 1990. Remember that, Dunbar?
Oh, I do remember that one. Yeah. Oh, absolutely, Alan.
In front of a packed house of fully, 37, 38 people. It was massive, wasn't it?
No. Well, look, then, Alan, you've just come down from Scotland. There must be a huge amount of excitement about this game north of the border.
All right. Well, you might have heard that fella just tooting outside the window there.
Yeah, he saw you through the window.
Excitement. No, there was a lot of excitement, but you see that Nicola Sturgeon?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she was gutted about that 2-0 defeat. I saw it on the news, and to be honest, she came across, a little cranky.
Oh, yeah.
Wee Jimmy, to be precise. A little boy, dead ringer. But Alex Salmon, you give his rallying cry, which, to be fair to him, sounds a bit like he's got one of them Chupa Chup lollies stuck in his throat. Come on, Scotland! You get my point there.
Very good,
It's uncanny. No, my prediction on this competition is going to be salad days for Scotland, which we've not seen for a long... Well, to be fair, we haven't really seen any salad up there for a while, but salad days! I'm joking!
Yes, of course. You're joking, Alan. Of course, your home nation's interest. Now, you did play for Scotland, but it was just your old one-cap wonder, Alan, aren't you?
Yeah, it was just a once, but I firmly believe I would have played again if it wasn't for one technicality. Mm-hmm. I was absolute pony in that particular match. It was a friendly against Brazil. Do you remember that?
Brazil.
You'd recall it. I wasn't in the right guy to play that continental style. We tried to compete. It was all tippy-tappy, namby-pamby nonsense. I like it old-fashioned, Not too many goals. Cut down on the flair and excitement. I like it. Doer, workaday, moribund is how I like. I mean, these Brazilians, you remember that match, don't you, Paul?
Yes, I do, yeah.
Zipping around the park like Cirque du Soleil, nutmegs, dragbacks. They're number 8, right? He'd done a Rabone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He'd done a Rabone 10 seconds into the match. 2 minutes in the second half, I tried my own version on him. It was a Rabroken Boner. Oh. I wouldn't stand for it. But, no, I was sent off that pitch. You remember, back in the dressing room so soon in the second half, I found my Lambert and Butler gold still smoking away in the ashtray. And a chicken jalfrezi that was still warm.
Oh, that's impressive. That is impressive.
No, I never played again.
Were in charge of Scotland today, Alan, what would you be saying to the players? What would your approach be?
Well, I should be in charge. You know that.
Oh, that's true. I know you've applied for the job many times.
I mean, some of the contenders the Scottish FA put up, the coach and national team. I wouldn't trust having to sit the right way around on a kludgy, let alone anything. No, I phoned Steve Clark last night, actually. I know he wants to play 3-5-2 again. I suggested one option, my 9-1 formation, what everyone wants to see, but caution first is what I say. No, I wanted to tell you, I'm not one of these calling for the young players.
Yes.
Some people are, Billy Gilmour, Nathan Patterson. They'll let anyone in the team after 5 minutes nowadays. And in my day, you did your apprenticeship. You didn't just waltz in.
No.
You do your time cleaning the boots, you set out a player's kit, get his shin pads ready. I missed training once because I was in a dressing room with a roll of gaffer tape and some swarf feet. You're trying to flatten down Archie Gamble's comb over. A funny little gingery flappy thing up and down like Gordon the Gopher, that thing, mind of his own. You earned your place, Paul.
We're nearly out of time. I do want to ask you, if possible, what your prediction maybe is today.
Well, of course, as a pundit, I have to remain impartial, but my prediction is that the 11 brave-hearted flurries of Scotland with their ice-cold, misty Highland valour seared into the minds of these gallant sons of thistle and chips will triumph against the poncy, lily-white, lavender-scented poodle pampered home county girly whirlies with their quaffered feather cats. I'm saying 1-0 Scotland. Actually, I've got £500. I tried to put £500 on Scotland down the bookies here.
Oh, yes.
To be fair, no one would take my money, mainly because I use those funny Clydesdale banknotes. The English are too stupid to realise a legal tender. But, anything can happen. I just want to say this. We weren't too bad against the Czechs the other day. I thought the Republic played well, and by Republic is what I call Scotland now. Yes. the Czechs weren't bad,
Alan, we're going to have to leave it. It's been Alan, lovely brilliant. To see you, Alan.
Thank you so much, and come on, Scotland, that's all I've got to say.
Enjoy the Alan McNee there.
All right, then.
He'll be back in the game. He'll be back in the game before too long. I'm sure. So, we should just tell you, coming up next...
Hang on, it was Braithwaite 78%, Brathwaite 22%.
Yeah, if you were here in the first hour, thank you for sticking around.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are, that was this afternoon's show. We are back in the studio next week.
Back on Monday. I've really enjoyed this week.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Thanks for tuning in. We're back from 1 till 4 next week in the usual slot. So, we hope to catch up with you then. Enjoy all the football this weekend.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.